been taking you through the Nicene Creed. And what I'd like to do right now is I want to take you through what we've covered and where we're going today, if you don't mind that. So if you would like to say this out loud with me, you can say it. For those of you who were raised in more liturgical churches, this was a common thing. Just to clear up any confusion, some people have come to me over the years whenever I've taught on the Nicene Creed and said, Pastor, you know, we're Baptist or we're evangelical. We don't do those things. Well, it's too bad. You know why? Because if you look in the back of any church hymnal, no matter what denomination, guess what you're going to find? The Nicene Creed. All a creed is to make a statement of what we believe, and it was originally done to correct error, theological error, errors about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the church, and the end times. And if you look at the structure of the creed, that's what it is. But would you read this with me? Here we go. We believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and crucified, and also under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, was buried, and on the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, Son, who with the Father and the Son is to be worshipped, glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And that's as far as we're going to go, because today we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit. How many of you are old enough to remember Geritol? What was Geritol for?
Energy.
Iron deficiencies, right? Is it still around? I don't even know if it's still around. But if you trace that over the years, it's interesting to follow, because Geritol then became replaced with caffeine drinks, right? And by the way, I don't know if you drink them or not. They're bad for you. But the caffeine drinks were meant to give you that boost that you needed. I remember when Nikki was with us in playing drums, he'd come walking in drinking one of those things, and I'd say, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not good for you. But we always seem to be running on tired, a lot of us, don't we? Right? We run on tired. You know, we look to things like Geritol, the caffeine boosters, the energy boosters, and all of this. And I'm saying, okay, some of that stuff is bad for us. We know that. But even as Christ followers, a lot of time we run tired. Isn't that true? Spiritually tired, emotionally tired, and sometimes physically tired. And I want to suggest to you one of the reasons why that happens is because you and I many times forget about the power that God in his grace and his love towards us makes available to us through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you who live in Forked River, yesterday about 5:30 in the morning, what happened? Do you remember? The power went out. It used to be a more common occurrence down here, but it's less frequent. I have no idea why the power ran out. But you notice it in your house when the power goes out, don't you? You don't hear the hum of the refrigerator. You know, the house makes different noises when the power is out. you know the difference. And you know if the power's out long enough, you remember what Sandy did to us, you know that eventually what's in the refrigerator is going to go bad, what's in the freezer is going to go bad, and all. I want to suggest this morning that when we ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit and we choose not to submit to Him, not to yield to Him, we are unplugging ourselves from the source of the power of God to live godly. And some of you may be sitting here saying, I don't know about that. Well, I can tell you it's true. And I can tell you firsthand that too many times in the evangelical church, we have ignored teaching on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of reasons for that, but it is a shame to ignore this teaching. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, correct? He's God, the Holy Spirit. He's fully God. That's why you see in that first verse, I or we believe in the Holy Spirit, the who? He is fully God. He is not a form of God. He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. Too many times when we think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we kind of assign them a pecking order, and that is not right. God the Son is not inferior to God the Father. The Holy Spirit is not inferior to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're all equally God, and this is important for us to know. Let me ask you this question. How much power does God have? Well, you're sleeping. He's all-powerful. The Holy Spirit is all-powerful. So if we choose not to let ourselves be yielded to the Spirit, we unplug from the Spirit, and we have no power. Ever feel like that spiritually? He is fully God. He desires us to yield to Him or submit to Him. Those aren't bad words. That just means every morning when I get up, I have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, rather than being controlled by my old sinful nature, rather than being controlled by the bad things in our culture, I want to be controlled by You today. I'm going to abide in You, Holy Spirit, to guide and direct me. This is something that we all need to practice on a daily basis, and it's a daily choice. Not only is He the Lord, but He guides us if we let Him, don't we? He guides us. If I can take that a step further, He guides us. He not only guides our steps if we let Him, but He guides us into truth. Some of you may do your devotions in the morning. When you do your devotions in the morning, or whenever you do them, one of the first things you should do is say, Holy Spirit, make this come alive for me. How is this going to empower me today to live for Christ? Or, Holy Spirit, reveal in me if there's any, what, sinfulness that needs to be confessed before You, so I can be effective for my Lord today. These are important things. Emily, I'm going to, if you can bring up John 16:13, I'm just going to run you through these quickly. Not sure how far we're going to get today. I'm conscious of time today. It says, this is the Apostle John. It says, and the words of Jesus, by the way, but when He, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He's the Holy Spirit of what? Truth. He will guide you, what? Into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears from who? The Father, of course. And He will tell you, He will tell you what is yet to come. So the Spirit guides us in the truth. He is willing to guide us. Now, I don't know about you. I have never been 66 years old before. All right? And so I'm coming up on 67 next year, and it's nice to have a guide to go someplace where you've never been. And the Holy Spirit is willing to be our guide. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 in all of this, if we can do that, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's familiar, right? All scripture is what? God breathed. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's breath, if you will. And is all scripture is God breathed and is useful for what? For what? For what? And for what? Are you in? But that's a choice. We have to make that choice every day. I would encourage you, if you ever want to read or memorize a passage of scripture, and I know it's a long passage, one of the best things you can do as a Christ follower is memorize Romans 8. It talks about living the life in the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to go into that this morning, but it's one of the most powerful passages. Some of you have been telling me you've gone to see the latest, what's the latest movie that you saw? The Avengers, right? The Avengers, the superheroes. In Romans 8, near the end of the passage, here's what Paul writes. When you live life in the Holy Spirit, you are super conquerors. Super conquerors. Everyone here could be a superhero. Not for your glory, but for His glory. That's a promise if we let ourselves be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, it is so easy to let ourselves get pulled away by everything, isn't it? We get distracted. We get pulled down with busyness. We get sometimes we're in a cycle of worry about different things, or people are draining us. I want to suggest to you that no matter what's happening, even if the sky is falling, Chicken Little, even if the sky is falling, this needs to be an ongoing conscious thing that we need to do to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you now more than ever. Lead me into truth. Guide my steps. In this difficult circumstance, help me glorify my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's also the giver of life. That's what the creed says. He is equal to God the Father and God the Son in every way. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts hearts of sin and is able to open the hearts to exercise faith in Christ. This is part of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Without the Holy Spirit's ministry opening my heart and yours, none of us would be here today. Isn't that true? Now, I'm not pulling this out of the air. Do I have 1 Corinthians 12:3 on there? Okay, would you bring that up? 1 Corinthians 12:3. Paul, again. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by who? The Spirit of God says Jesus be what? And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by who? Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God who opens our hearts to the truth of the scriptures, to the truth of the gospel, to the truth of our own sinfulness, from which we need to repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's some indication in the book of Revelation that there's going to come a point in time. And Jared, I guess he covered this when he taught Revelation, where God seems to be or will be pulling the Holy Spirit from this earth. Theologically speaking, it is the Holy Spirit who keeps us from going to utter chaos. Do you realize that? Theologians call that common grace. It is the working of the Holy Spirit who keeps us from being as bad as we could be. And we're pretty bad, aren't we? And we sometimes forget who the Holy Spirit is and His role in our lives and in the lives of those around us. He is life, power, advocate, comforter, teacher of the believer. I don't have time for it today, but if you want to look at that, look at John 14 and 15. And you see how John develops the fact that He is power. I just want to go over a couple of those words with you real quick. Life. I'm talking about life. Every breath we take, we owe to who? God. Every step of grace we take and step of faith we take, we owe to the Holy Spirit. He gives us the desire and the power. The word for power that's used in John, by the way, and in other passages in Romans 8 that speak about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is the word dunamis, which we translate dynamite. Power. Unlimited power. Now, in saying that, he is comforter and teacher. How many of you have days where you need to be comforted? And I have to ask this question. Where do you run for your comfort? Some of you run to the phone. Some of you run to a bottle. Some of you run to a neighbor. And I'm not saying go into somebody else's bed. The bottle's bad. But what I'm saying is this. A lot of times, the Holy Spirit is who is in you says, come to me. Let's spend time together. And I will bring you comfort, even in a difficult time. The Holy Spirit is able to transform hearts of a Christ follower so that we can become more like Christ from the inside out. We sang about that before. That process is called sanctification, becoming a bit more like Christ each and every day that we submit and walk with the Holy Spirit in obedience to the Word and the obedience to God. He also gives Christ followers assurance. I have to confess to you, there are days that I say, Lord, how can you really love me? Have you ever had those days? I mean, I've had them. I've had more than I like to admit. And yet he gives us assurance. Can you bring up do I have Romans 8:23 in there? If not, Ephesians 1:13 will do too. I drive Emily crazy on days like today. Okay. Here's Ephesians 1:13. Here's the assurance. I need to read this often. Because I am what is called in Italian, gabadost. You know what that means? Hardhead, thick-headed. And I have to go back and reread this. You want to read it with me? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The moment you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that was sealed. Done deal once for all. Nothing you can do to undo it. Nothing anybody could do to undo it. Once you're a child of the King, you're a child of the King. Once you've been adopted into the family of God, you're in the family of God. And if you get out of line, guess what God the Father is going to do through the Holy Spirit? He's going to correct you if we let him. But that just proves that we belong to the Father through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will be the one that's prodding us, saying, come on, get back on the right track. Let's go. And if we don't listen that first time, the prod gets a little bit harder. And sometimes, figuratively speaking, God has to give us a little bit of a smack on the backside. Some pastors used to say, there are times you have to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Right? The Holy Spirit is also the giver of spiritual gifts. Now, here's what Satan would have us to do. I'm not going to get deep into the spiritual gifts today, other than say that Scripture in Romans 8 and 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that he gives gifts to every believer. Sets of gifts. Not everyone is the same. Thank God. Isn't that true? Not everybody is the same. I personally believe all the gifts are still relevant. And in saying that, here's what Satan would want you to do. Oh, Pastor, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not sure about some of these gifts being still here. He would say, are you until the cows come home. Because once you start arguing, we're done. I will tell you this. God, through the Spirit of God and through Jesus Christ, gives believers spiritual gifts, not for their own glory, but for the edification of the church. And not only for the edification of the church, but to bring glory to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever those gifts are. One gift is not better than another. Some of you have gifts, gift of hospitality, just as important as the gift of preaching. Some of you have the gift of maintaining the facility. Boy, where would we be? Just as important as every other gift. There is no rank in these orders of spiritual gifts that God gives them to each one. My question is, do you know what yours is? Your set? And are you using them for the glory of God? It's like anything else. God can give us a gift and we can use it to bring disgrace to him if we don't use it right. He says, are you using your spirits? We're not going to get through all of this today. So I'm going to cover one more easy part with you. That's not so easy. There's a line in the Nicene Creed that says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Nobody knows what that means. Okay? Theologians have argued with it for years. Whatever the early church fathers intended by that, here's the best we can discern. That this talks about the unique Trinitarian relationship between Father and Son and Son and Spirit and Father and Son. It's a unique relationship. All three persons of the Trinity, fully God, none inferior, none superior, but they all take on voluntarily in agape, unconditional love, voluntary roles in the Trinity that are no less or more important than the other. And so what you see in the Trinity now is what theologians called the complete family of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Trinity works on unconditional love for one another. So in unconditional love, the Son says to the Father, I will go and pay the penalty for the world's sin on the cross. In unconditional love, the Spirit says to the Son and the Father, I will prepare hearts for people to receive that good news. In unconditional love, the Spirit opens and prepares our hearts so we can receive the gospel by faith and repentance. And then at that moment, he chooses, in agreement with the Father and the Son, to indwell us. In fact, the scripture says he tabernacles or makes his tent in our lives. If you're here today and you're a Christ follower, you have the same Holy Spirit I have. True? And not only can he give us power, but we can be united in that. It's the Holy Spirit and our faith in Jesus Christ that unites us all, no matter what background, no matter how old, how young. The last two points I'm going to cover with you next week, but here's what I need to leave you with today. So what? What's our response? What would our response be? Bless you. Allow me to take on the persona of an infomercial. All right? How many of you watch infomercials? Here you go. Are you tired of being tired? Are you tired of being a Christ follower and feel like that You're running tired all the time? Are you tired of walking around like this? Are you tired of that? Are you tired of fighting the same old battles every day? You get where I'm going? And all we need to do is by faith yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and walk in His power. And the scripture says we can be super conquerors. More than the Avengers could ever accomplish. More than Captain America could ever accomplish. More than whoever else is in those movies can accomplish. We are called to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Last passage, Galatians 5, 25. Very simple. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about how the Great Commission ties into all of this. Because listen to me, church. We're not doing well, generally speaking. I'm talking about the Evangelical Church of America and reaching people with the gospel. We'll put a little bit more feet on that next week. But you are not saved just for a get out of hell card free. Neither am I. God grants us forgiveness, but that's where it starts. But then it is the Holy Spirit who gives us a gift set and says, now go. Go into your world. And in love and kindness, let people see the light who lives in you, plus the Holy Spirit, and then earn the right to share the love of Christ with others. To be continued. So when you're watching cable television late at night, and you see my face come on and say, are you tired? I urge you, I beg you, plug back into the Holy Spirit and let Him guide you. Let Him give you the power, the desire, so that you can keep in step with Him. Whether you're in the workplace, whether you're in home, whether you're in school, whether you are retired, whether you are not retired, or you're not sure who you are, yield to the Spirit of God. Amen? One of the songs that we're going to repeat today, I think, is a great song as the praise team comes up. One of the purposes of the creed is to reaffirm our belief in these great things. And the song that we're going to end with is called We Are Who You Say We Are.